Here is a contrast in style and substance between our incoming and outgoing heads of state.
The long-term solution to today's problems is sustained economic growth. And the surest path to that growth is free markets and free people. History has shown that the greater threat to economic prosperity is not too little government involvement in the market, it is too much government involvement in the market.
President Bush on Thursday on the importance of not acting going into this weekend summit of the G20 nations, the largest 20 economies in the world. So here's President-elect Obama on 60 Minutes last night afterwards.
Well, keep in mind that 1932, 1933, the unemployment rate was 25%, inching up to 30%. You had a third of the country that was ill-housed, ill-clothed, unemployed. We're not going through something comparable to that. But I would say that this is as bad as we've seen since then. And if we don't take some significant steps, then it could get worse.
A contrast in style and substance. Let's hope the new world works better than the old one, eh? We'll talk about Bush and Obama and the proposed auto industry bailout today, roiling the nations. Also this morning, Kerry Kennedy on this week's renaming of the Triborough Bridge for her father, RFK. And we have a question on our website. What local landmark would you rename and for whom? You can post your answer to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And if you're unemployed, you should really hear our segment on employment agency scams coming up later this hour. So a lot to stay with us for this morning. Hope you can. But during the campaign, and again on 60 Minutes last night, Barack Obama made it pretty clear what his five top priorities would be if elected. New tax cuts for the middle class and let the Bush tax cuts expire on the top few percent. Propose universal health insurance, create green infrastructure, public works jobs, get out of Iraq, and get more serious about improving education. How much will the financial crisis change those priorities? Will he go full speed ahead on that ambitious agenda or go slow for fear of losing Congress like Bill Clinton lost it after his first 2 years? Where does Obama stand on bailing out the auto industry? He gave a clue, but without too much detail, on 60 Minutes last night. We have a great person to ask. Bruce Reed served all 8 years of Bill Clinton's presidency as his chief domestic policy advisor, and he co-authored a major policy book with Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. The book is called The Plan. It came out in 2006, but is surging now on the bestseller lists because of Emanuel's new job. Bruce Reed is president of the Centrist Democratic Leadership Council, that wing of the Democratic Party. He's also a columnist for Slate.com these days. And Bruce Reed, great of you to do this with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So given the crisis that we're in, first of all, where do you think Barack Obama should start on January 20th, and where do you think he will?
Well, the country is hungry for change, desperate for change, and I think he's going to hit the ground running, delivering on the promises he made in the campaign. The first priority has to be the economy. Congress and the administration were unable to get a stimulus package done this time, so I think that's going to be first order of business. And I think there's an opportunity to pass those middle-class tax cuts that he promised. And then there's a host of unfinished business that the current administration blocked that I think Congress and the White House will want to get on to, including health care and some other priorities.
Well, he supports some kind of help for the auto industry, which seems to be the immediate question of the day. We played the clip before the news of Mark Shields on the NewsHour on Friday night saying without help for the auto industry, the country will fall from recession into depression. Those are strong words, and a number of people are using it. There's also a lot of resistance because people feel like the Detroit Big Three have failed themselves, failed the country. Why should we bail them out? But President-elect Obama seems to support some kind of help for the auto industry with strings attached. Is it clear to you with what strings attached for restructuring so it's not money down the drain?
I don't know the particulars of what the Obama administration will seek. I do think that it's critical to keep the auto industry going. It's such a big part of the economy, a lot of jobs on the line. But it's also important to make sure that that we end up with a better auto industry as a result. This is a time to make decisions that are good in the short term, but also can bring change in the long term. And
what is a better auto industry? I mean, if you're talking about one that produces greener cars, for example, that might be a great thing for America. Not necessarily in the interest of profits, at least not in the short term. So, is that what you're talking about? And if so, should we be prepared as taxpayers to subsidize this for years to come?
Well, I think the situation Detroit finds itself in is that they came too late to the green economy, and Ford was very late in putting its first hybrid on the market. GM was even later. There is hope in the pipeline. GM has an electric car, a plug-in hybrid that could be a revolutionary change in what we've got to offer, but we need to make sure that these companies stay afloat until those products come to market. I think no matter what happens, we're going to end up with a different auto industry because the old one can't survive.
Let me ask you a political question with respect to this, and here is a clip of NBC's Andrea Mitchell on Meet the Press yesterday doing political analysis of a major demand she sees coming on Barack Obama.
They do believe that there has to be a car czar, a plan for Detroit. They know they've got to deal with this. This really will, I think, be the issue. The labor unions, which raised $80 million for Barack Obama, the labor union constituency is going to be one of his big issues on the auto industry and on trade in general.
Do you think that's what's behind this, that for all the legendary independence that Barack Obama is supposed to have because of all the small internet-based donations, that there are still big organized interests, in this case big organized labor, with some big chits to cash in on his policy agenda?
No, I don't think that's the reason. The auto industry is connected to a significant percentage of the jobs in the country, not just directly in Detroit, but with lots of suppliers. So at a time when unemployment's already climbing dangerously, we just can't afford to have big layoffs in Detroit that will ripple outward to the rest of the economy. So this is an important area in maintaining confidence in the future of our economy.
We can take some phone calls and certainly web comments for Bruce Reed, co-author with Rahm Emanuel, the new chief of staff of The Plan. And our phone number 212-433-WNYC. Listeners, how fast, how slow do you think Barack Obama should go on his big agenda items? Does he risk losing Congress, losing the public, and therefore losing Congress after 2 years like President Clinton did when he went very fast on universal health insurance and other things? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anything else for Bruce Reed, or post your comment or question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Bruce, one of the big debates right now in Democratic circles is how fast, how slow for the Obama agenda. And the more cautious remind us of how Bill Clinton lost the Democratic majority in Congress after 2 years, and they blame it on raising taxes and the big failed health reform plan most of all. Do you think, as President Clinton's domestic policy advisor during that time, do you think that's an accurate reading of history?
Well, we made plenty of mistakes in those first 2 years. I don't think it's a question of too fast or too slow. I think it's making sure that the steps that they take are the right ones. I think it will be important to to pass some things early. But I think, as I said, there are plenty of things that are that have been waiting around. There's a children's health insurance expansion that passed the Congress with bipartisan support a couple times that the White House blocked. That could pass right off the bat. Other things that the Congress could do to just show that the country is moving in the right direction again. And then, you know, we'll see how long it takes for Congress to reach agreement on some of these bigger issues. Healthcare is a tough issue. Energy is a tough issue. But I think in a crisis as sweeping as this one, Washington is going to step up its game.
Step up its game to deal with the crisis. Where do you think that leaves healthcare? For example, I've heard it reported that Ted Kennedy says he'll be back in the Senate in January and ready to move fast and big on health insurance reform. Does that mean he'll be working with President Obama or putting independent pressure on President Obama to keep big healthcare reform front and center?
Well, they'll be working together. Healthcare is part of the crisis. You know, we talk about the decisions that Detroit has made being part of its current problems, but another part of Detroit's competitive problem is healthcare costs. If we don't get healthcare costs under control, we're going to be in crisis for a very long time. We've got an aging population, we have a lot of people who aren't covered. So if you're going to square that circle, that means you need to do something about healthcare costs. You need to do something about healthcare reform. And, you know, obviously some other things like stimulating the economy are more urgent. But healthcare is not something that you can just say we'll get around to in a second term. You've got to deal with it right away.
Do you have an opinion on how big a stimulus package? Some people are talking $600 billion, something to rival the $700 billion that went to the banks. You know, typically we hear stimulus programs discussed in the maybe $50 billion range. Some people are suggesting $600 billion to really get this bottom-up, trickle-up economy, as Barack Obama has described it, in motion, as well as the trickle-down economy of the bank bailout. Does something like that seem warranted to you?
Well, I wouldn't be so concerned about the size as to make sure that what's in that stimulus package is actually well-tailored to stimulate the economy quickly. You know, it shouldn't just be an excuse to spend money on things that people want to spend money on a long time, especially on things that are going to take a long time for that money to get into people's hands. Tax cuts are a very good candidate because they'll get the money out there right away, but there's other things like extension of unemployment benefits and perhaps some help to the states that would otherwise have to raise taxes.
David in New Brunswick goes back to the Clinton administration for a question. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi. I remember that there was a program that the Bill Clinton's administration started for the big three automakers, which had them sort of competing to come up with a very fuel-efficient car, which they actually all did. And when Bush got into the White House, he immediately canceled the plan in his, you know, far-sighted thinking. I wonder if your guests would address and refresh me on the details of that program.
Are you familiar with what he's talking about, Bruce?
Yes, and, you know, look, it's not doesn't do us much good to point fingers, but we have known for a good 25 years that that fuel economy was going to be a big challenge. I can remember I was working for Al Gore in the early 90s when he talked about how we were going to see the end of the internal combustion engine, and Republicans attacked him. The first George Bush called him Ozone Man. So, you know, I think we've, in this last administration, we've seen the dying throes of that kind of thinking, and now, you know, I think the world has come around to the view that we're going to have to fundamentally transform this part of our economy, and it's the real missed opportunity, which I think the Obama White House wants to catch up on, is that if we can lead the world in energy-efficient technologies, that's going to be the greatest job engine we've seen in a very long time. So it's a great way to get the economy off its feet, or back on its feet, and a roadmap to a much healthier, more vibrant auto industry down the road.
Do you think, by the way, in your book, you and Rahm Emanuel lean toward almost a healthcare voucher system to put earmarked money in Americans' pockets, then make the healthcare industry compete for it. Is the Obama plan anything like that?
Well, in our book, we talk a little bit about a scheme like that that's outlined by Rahm's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, who's a leading healthcare thinker. I think in the near term, what we need to see is the kind of plan that Obama talked about on the campaign trail of making it possible for Americans and businesses to buy into plans similar to what members of Congress can get. And, you know, we have a strong employer-based system now that we're just going to need to find a way to make sure that that we can keep costs under control, and that we can also keep employers from bailing on that system.
Before you go, is your publisher keeping up with the newfound demand for the book? This is a 2-year-old book. Well, I don't know if it was ever on the bestseller list, but it's up to number one on Amazon in political books.
It's enjoying a second life that we hope will continue. Amazon ran out for a while. We're hoping we can supply some more books. Not just for our book, but for ideas generally, the country is so excited about this moment, and it's an opportunity for change and new thinking. And I think that President Obama will inspire a whole bunch of new books like this.
You get before you go, you get criticized in a number of reviews for a couple of national security proposals in this book. A domestic anti-terrorism force like the MI5 of Great Britain, which goes against the civil liberties values of many in this country, and you propose 3 months of compulsory disaster training for Americans 18 to 25 years old. And people ask, well, why that, rather than 3 months of other kinds of service, and, you know, maybe leave that level of disaster training to the professionals. Do you think that those things are on President-elect Obama's agenda or Rahm Emanuel's agenda as chief of staff?
Oh, well, President Obama's got the agenda he campaigned on. The first idea on domestic counterterrorism was actually a proposal to try to make sure that that we overhaul the way we do domestic security, so that we do protect civil liberties. And I think that the Bush administration did a terrible job of that. On national service, we wanted to start a debate to try to move us toward a system of universal service. Voluntary universal service would be even better. President-elect Obama proposed great ideas on the campaign to make sure that to pay for college for anybody who's willing to serve their country for 100 hours a year. I think that, this is a moment to inspire a new generation to give something back to their country.
But not just 3 months of compulsory disaster training, right?
We'd be delighted to see a thousand flowers bloom on the service front. So,
all right. Bruce Reed, president of the Democratic Leadership Council, columnist for Slate.com. He was domestic policy advisor to President Clinton for all 8 years of that administration. And he is co-author with Rahm Emanuel, the new chief of staff to President-elect Obama, of The Plan, Big Ideas for America, originally out in 2006 and now climbing the bestseller charts. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, so many people either are confused or have very strong conflicting opinions, and it doesn't seem to break down neatly along left-right lines or anything like that. on what to do about the auto industry. We'll get some of the pros and cons from Rebecca Lindland coming up in a minute.